Log Talk Radio.
What if I couldn't speak? What if I couldn't eat? What if I couldn't move? Would you still love me? What if my body ached and always made you late? What if I couldn't wait? Would you still love me? Would you love me when it's hard and our life's falling apart? If the things that we once knew are long gone, if our blue skies turn to gray and my memory fades away, would you still love me? Would you still love me? What if I'm complicated, always leaving you frustrated? Nothing ever went quite right. Would you still love me? Wish I could let you know what the future holds. It's a promise I can't make. Through the good and bad, happy and sad, love's a risk that we must take. Would you love me when it's hard and our life's falling apart? If the things that we once knew are long gone, if our blue skies turn to gray and my memory fades away, would you still love me?
Everybody, you are tuned in to Yizer Victim Stoppers Radio, listening to Against All Odds with Renita Graves and Ayana Muhammad. Tonight, we will be discussing supporting your significant other through lifetime traumas. Ayana.
Oh, Lord. Yes, ma'am.
Whew.
What's up?
Hey, this is a hard one. You know, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and
yes,
it's not just
women
that are catching cancer or going through traumatic life experience. Did I say catching cancer?
You.
I didn't mean to say
you
catching.
You didn't say catching. No, you said catching.
I'm sorry.
It's not.
I did.
It's not the cold or the flu or nothing like that.
And I don't know why I always say catching cancer.
I don't know.
You don't catch
you do
cancer.
No,
you
don't
it.
Catch it. It's
you
not,
acquire it.
I don't know exact broccoli, but I know you don't catch it. It's not like if we both sitting in the room and you got it, now I can catch it. Like, that's not how I go. I'm through with you. Anyway, continue
well,
on.
Well, how do you
saying.
Say
I'll
it?
Say
okay, so okay. So tonight we're going to be talking
find
about
out that
supporting.
You have it. Find out, yeah.
Discover. Okay, discover. So
okay.
If you discover that your significant other has acquired a life-altering, life-threatening disease, disorder,
diagnosed.
How, would you continue to support them? Let's
start off.
Diagnosed. Or it can even be diagnosed. We're using diagnosed, and we're talking about cancer because, like I said, this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and then we have cancers just running rampant. So if we talk about cancer, the show is not just about cancer. I want to put that out there. We are talking about all types of life-altering events, a car accident, and they're left with, you know, not being able to take care of themselves. Anything, you know, the death of a child, the death of a parent, just being there for your spouse or your significant other in a traumatic time in their life. You know, we go through stuff. We get real emotional. We don't want to be bothered with nobody. We want to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk about how that significant other is going to deal with those types of emotions when something happens unexpectedly.
I mean, honestly, I would imagine it to be hard to deal with, right? Because you got to think about it. If you're going through something that's traumatic, like as a person, when you're going through it, you're not going to come out the same on the other end. So it could completely alter your relationship. You know, I just can't see everything being exactly the same after going through being quote unquote diagnosed or something traumatic happening. I mean, a car accident and now your mate is in a wheelchair, like that you just completely changed our lives. Because we technically got married, or we together, we won. So you know, you
and
just
one
change,
day we're,
like,
we're walking around.
Yes, it's
but
like,
okay. So I know that what you're
what
saying,
you
and that's
what
true.
Right.
It completely changes your whole dynamics of the relationship or the
mm-hmm.
marriage or whatever. At this point in time, you went from being
right.
a fully
right.
functional family. You working, I'm working, we doing this, and now my whole life has turned around. But over
down,
the
yes.
this past year, I've ran into and I've heard some stories of the significant mm-hmm. others blanking out. I can't take it. I can't deal with this. I have not signed. I didn't sign up for this.
Oh, wow.
It's been rough. It's been
yeah,
rough.
But you can't,
and
so I know I've heard people say that too, like, you know, I didn't sign up for this. Well, no, you never really do, but you did sign up to be with me. You know, that whole
but I was gonna say if you're married,
death
you did.
To a part, like I really
yes,
don't
did.
Think people read the fine print of that, because that means a lot. Like that's you can't just be like, oh, you know what, I ain't signed up for this, so I'm gonna go. Like you can't do that. That makes you a bad person. Doesn't that make you a bad person?
That to me, that makes you a hard, but you know what? I can't say that. I'm saying for me, I can't see
okay.
myself walking out. You know what I'm saying? I have a big heart and I help others. Like I'm the community service guru. I'm a bus community
right,
service
right, right.
wide open. So, and I have
but
a heart of compassion, but people just don't have that empathy or that sympathy to be, or some people just don't know how to handle it. It could just be that simple. Like, I just don't know. I'm not equipped to handle this type of traumatic event in my own life, let alone in somebody else's.
Okay. Look at it this way, though. We ride motorcycles, right? So
we do.
You in a relationship with somebody that ride a motorcycle. You know at any given moment something can happen and can completely change the course of that person's life. Like, if you with me and you know that I ride, like, I'm not expecting something to happen and you be like, you know, boo, I understand, you know, you all wheelchair bound, but, yeah, I didn't sign up for this and I'm going to go ahead and exit this relationship. Like, what? That you can't do that.
Shouldn't do that. But it's being done.
I'm just saying.
It's been done.
But you knew
I
what you signed up for because you knew I was a rider from Jump Street, so you knew it was
maybe.
A chance. Like,
maybe.
Really?
Maybe.
Like, do you
maybe.
Like,
maybe.
Like,
and then maybe I thought I could
like,
deal with it. Maybe I thought I could deal with it.
And then just you just like, I can't no more.
Maybe I thought I could, but it's just, it was just too much. Like, I can't change your dressing.
I don't know.
I'm squeamish, a broken bone. I'm like, you know what I'm saying?
That's crazy. Though.
I would have
like,
to make do.
I don't know.
Hey, it happened.
I don't know. I'm not saying, okay, so let me just go ahead and be front. Like, I'm probably talking a lot of trash because I haven't been in the situation, so I really don't know how I react in the situation. But I don't think that I could leave the person. I do think that our relationship dynamic over the years may change, but I don't think I could just leave that person just high and dry. Like, you know, I'm going to get this ramp built at the house and I'm out. Like, I don't really think I could do that. Like, I don't really think so. I just.
Now, look.
I would like to think I'm not that type of person.
Okay, so I used to work in a dialysis field, right?
Right.
So, you know, at certain times in a patient's life when they're going through dialysis, if they the ports keep getting infected and they have to keep changing the ports out, this, that, and the other, you know, they only have so many places they can put your port. And it was almost like all the time, once they send you home and they put the port in your chest, like, this is it. This is it. It's, you know, no more. So I've watched families, husbands and wives, when they when the people have got to the point where, okay, this port is in your chest and they're sending you home because you've used up all the area in your arms and in your neck, and there's nothing else. They can't put a port anywhere else. I've watched the husbands and the wives walk away. And I think it's because they know that this is getting ready to be it, and they don't want to watch their loved one, you know, pass away. Like, they sent you home. Like, you gonna, this is something that's going to happen at home. I've watched them walk away, and I've literally gone to patient's house and sit with them because I don't want them to die alone. Like, it's just so crazy how people can walk away.
God.
But you never know what somebody else is going through, and you never know how people take grief. And you just don't know.
But
you
even
don't
if, like,
know.
In that situation, though, you still can't, like, even in a situation where, like, I've had a friend in the past, right, and her husband was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, I believe. And I watched her stand by this man's side, knowing what the outcome of that situation was going to be. Like, it changed their whole financial situation to the point that they were pulling money out of, like, the 401k because she knew that he didn't have much longer to live. So it was some things he wanted on his bucket list. So she made it happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wanted to get him a Corvette. So she was like, you know what? We're going to pull this money back. We're going to go ahead and get. And I'm like, that to me is what you do. Like, I don't know where they're making these new bread people from because I just don't think that. If you know somebody's going through something that.
How you can
terminal,
just leave them.
How you can just. And it's terminal. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know that what the ending's going to be. At this point, why would you not be by this person's side? Because they don't have. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's even more reason to be by their side, you know. And then it's like we're talking about it from that perspective. It could be from the perspective of I got a parent. I lose a parent. Like, I need you to be by my side.
I
like,
need
I
you right here.
A sibling
or I lose a child. Or I lose a niece or a nephew or a cousin that I was very close to that we grew up like brother and sister, like anything.
I'm going to be honest.
Anything that you
want. If anybody's in my friend circle and they told me that, you know, they was in a situation and they left that person, I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty much putting them out my friend circle because if you wasn't there for them, I know you ain't going to be there for me.
You
like,
ain't going to be there for me. Oh, my
right.
God, girl. You
that's
want that loyalty? Loyalty,
like,
loyalty, loyalty.
You.
I can't deal
not
with you.
With you. No. I'm not fooling with you. Like, I can't. That's ridiculous. That's
but
not
you know
control,
what? It's rampant. Like I said, I know just this year alone, I've heard stories about how.
You change your friend circle.
You already know how I'm going to get down. You already know how this is going to go with me.
I'm not.
I've heard.
Friends that told me that stories.
I've heard stories about how.
Crazy.
The significant other, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. Has literally,
really?
Yeah,
just was like, "Ooh, it's too much for me to handle."
And then you got to look at the flip side too. Let me tell you, because I also, like, I've been in the healthcare field for 27 years, so I've seen a lot of stuff happen. And when you give people, when you give them the diagnosis, like, we've got your test results back, this is what's going on with you, they sometimes get real combative. They get real,
What you want me to do?
I don't want to be bothered with nobody. Like, they're fighting against everybody, the doctor, the wife, the, you know what I'm saying? This is like, leave me alone, I don't want to be bothered, back up, stay away from me. You know, they get real mean, and it's, so some people just can't deal with that attitude. Like, if I'm, I'll be here in your corner, but you're not going to treat me like ish anyway. You see what I'm saying? So we,
like,
you gotta,
That's crazy. I can't.
You wouldn't. I wouldn't. I don't care. You just have to fight me. Because I'm going to feed you. I'm going to wipe your butt.
I'm
going to do whatever
I
need to do.
I'm going to make you stay.
You're going to love me in the end. We're going to sit up. We're going to read books. We're going to talk about stuff. I'm going to sit you in front of the TV. We're going to watch Lifetime, and we're going to talk about it. And if you can't talk about it, blink twice, because so I know you understand what I'm saying. We're going to have, like, this is what we're going to do. We're gonna be, I'm going to build a whole routine around what your needs
are. But you did say blink twice. That's not supposed to be funny, but you did say blink twice.
Did you laugh? Because I'm serious. I'm so serious. Like, I couldn't leave. I couldn't
either, though. Like, I'm being honest.
To leave.
I think this is one of the few times we're actually on the same page. It's no way I could leave you. I wouldn't leave you based on that. Like, I'm not saying it wouldn't be hard. I mean, that would be a lot to deal with, because, like I say, that's a situation that has changed both our lives. But I don't think that I would leave that person, like, unattended. Like, I look at, I'll be honest, I have an aunt, and my uncle has been diagnosed with MS. So, 6'3", 200 pounds, and worked day and night all the time, was the one of those old school men, the provider, filled her gas tape up on Sunday so she didn't have to get gas throughout the week, made sure she had everything taken care of. Right now,
and
she's in a wheelchair. She's in a wheelchair, and he has MS. He doesn't really walk very well. Sometimes he can walk with a walker. Most of the time he's in a wheelchair. It kind of changed their whole dynamic. He doesn't work anymore. When she go to work, you know, she has to take off, make sure he gets to his appointments and things like that. And I look at her handling that like it's nothing. Like, it's nothing.
Because
it,
that's the way
changed. You're
supposed to handle it, like it's nothing. Like, this is something that
nothing.
I was built to do. I'm built for it, tough to last. And whatever you go through, baby, I'm going to go through it right along with you. That's me. I mean, my legs and arms will be so strong, I'll be wheeling my husband around. Like, when I run, you run. We doing this. We in this together. And I just don't understand. But let's just get some callers. We got a long list of callers on here. So I'm pretty sure we're going to hear some pretty good information. I'm going to start with our first caller. They've been on the line for a minute now. Caller with the last four of 3367. Good evening, caller. How are you tonight?
Hello, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We're talking about supporting your significant other through a traumatic period of their life. Do you have anything to add to this topic?
I do. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2005. And at the time, I had an 18-month-old. And a 5-year-old. So as you can imagine, a very difficult situation to be in for me and my spouse. We had no family history of breast cancer, and it was just a very shocking diagnosis for us. I think the biggest shock that really scared me, that made me really think about what you guys are talking about tonight, you know, would he be there, was when the doctor both sat us down and said, you will no longer have any more children.
Oh, and were you all planning on having more kids?
We were absolutely planning on having more children because I had two girls, and my husband was very adamant about
that boy
getting pregnant anytime that it needed for us to have a son. So I think that's when I really got nervous, and the crazy thing about it is I totally focused away from my diagnosis and really focused on, you know, oh, my God, what is he going to do? The great thing about my story is he hung in there. He basically had to become a single dad and basically take care of our children 100% for the next 7 months. As I went through multiple operations, multiple chemo bouts, you know, trying to work at the same time, and, you know, just really trying to keep myself together, so that I could kids. So I do think that there are some good spouses out there.
Absolutely.
But I do think that the situation becomes very scary. And I can see where you do sit down and think about, especially the person that's going through it. It does cross your mind that, oh my God, am I going to be left alone? Because that has to be
on top of everything else, the diagnosis, everything else that's going on through your mind. That right there has to be like the worst feeling.
Yeah, and one of the things that really hits home that you know, you guys were talking about was the whole transformation. You're never the same. You know, you start looking different. You know, you start losing all your hair. You start losing what people consider all the beauty about you, you know, because we're so look at people from the outside, right? So you start having all this transformation of your body. You start having all this transformation of your look. And for a lot of men, that is a very tough transformation to watch and live with because you don't know if you're ever going to get that person back.
Did you and your husband, let me ask you this. Did you and your husband sit down after you were diagnosed and talk about all of these emotions that, one, are here now, and two, may come about in a month, in 2 months? Did he express to you, baby, look, I'm not going nowhere, I'm in this for the long haul? Or was it just something that even though you had it in the back of your mind, you just expected, this is my husband, I know his character, I know he's going to be here?
I will say we did not talk about it. I will say the one thing we did talk about was the children aspect. He had a really hard time grasping it. We went back to the doctor on several occasions to go over treatment plans, and at the end of every last one of those treatment plans, I think it was four, before we started treatment, he asked, when can we start having children? And finally, on the last treatment plan, the doctor said, you can do whatever you want. You can get pregnant if you want to, but there's a 90% chance he will have to choose between you or the baby.
The baby. Wow.
I think that's when he finally heard the knock at the door that this was not going to happen. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, even still today, we make jokes about it. And deep down inside, I know that it's really not a joke, but he's accepted it. But, I will say I changed. You know, as you go through that transformation and after you get done with that fight, you become a little selfish. Because you really start thinking about, you know, I need to live my life. I need to think about all the things I didn't get to do, and it's all about me because, you know, I could have died, and it's just a lot. It is a lot. I do think it takes – it's not easy, and I do think that it takes special, grounded, family, Christian –
absolutely.
People to get through a lot of the medical and accidental things that happen to people. And I kind of feel like you all feel. I don't want people in my circle that
is not true.
That you're right. That's not going to do that.
If you can walk away, I'm not having you in my circle. I'm not.
I can't.
I'm just saying. I won't.
I can't.
I won't. Mm-mm. It's like I need people that's going to be there for me, root for me,
encourage me.
And I think about, you know, there's so many people out here that take hair for granted. Like, I lost all my hair and it never grew back. I get, you know, very short pieces of it back. So just think about all the men, and I'm going to say women too, who are out there with so much focus on hair. Like, what
shallow.
If that was the kind of man I was married to?
I think we know the answer to that. Just to be honest, like,
well, I want to. You said some very powerful things, and I know we have a lot of people listening online, and we have other callers. I want to thank you for sharing your story. I want to congratulate you on being a survivor. I admire your strength. Thank you for telling your story and sharing. And you have you have a wonderful husband. And I ain't never met the man. I have never met you. But, you know, I'm just saying, because compared to what I've listened to just this year,
I have to applaud this man.
But, Kyle, I'm going to put you back in queue, and I hope you continue to listen.
All right. Well, thank you all so much, and I appreciate everything you do.
Thank you. Yeah, she. I don't know what that popping noise is, but
me either. That's new to me.
I have to applaud her for telling her story, and it has to be something, you know, because the men, they want their boy. They want that boy. This is my namesake.
Well, yeah, but it was one of them situations where it came down to you got to choose between me or the baby, and I'm like, I don't think any man would want to be choosing between that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Honestly. So, but I think in any situation, her situation and somebody else's, like, really, that's how it's supposed to be handled. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
exactly how it's supposed to be handled.
It's like when you're going through certain traumatic things, whether it be being diagnosed or me losing someone that I care about, like, I would expect we balance each other out. So when I'm down, I need you to be up, and vice versa. You know what I'm saying?
That's,
so if I'm ill or I'm sick, I'm not expecting my house to be completely trifling, and you're not going to do nothing because that's what I normally do because I can't do it.
I
now.
Need you to,
you know what I'm saying?
Pop me some soup in the microwave.
Right, like, bring me that Chick-fil-A chicken noodle
soup. No.
And you know what I'm saying? Like,
toddy me down, whatever, rub Vicks on me, whatever it takes. Let's pay some bills, Ariana.
Let's do it.
All alarm companies call the police after a break-in. Most burglaries take place between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Home alarm systems don't prevent burglaries. Be proactive. Get a Digital Guard wireless HD home camera system and monitoring. Systems start as low as $684.63, or you can lease a Digital Guard HD wireless home camera system with no credit check for only $50 a month with $275 down for 14 months. Call Digital Guard at 888-640-5777, hit option 2, and use the promo code Renita, because what you can't see will hurt you.
Yes, we're back, and we're talking about supporting your significant other through a traumatic experience in their life. We got a quite a few callers on the line. I'm going to take another one. Caller with the last four digits of 0752. Good evening, caller.
Hey, Renita. Hello.
Hey. Hello.
This is your sister-in-law from Indianapolis.
Hey, sister-in-law. I got two.
Hello.
This Nene.
Yes.
Hey. Oh, yeah. I know you got a story.
Yeah,
how you doing? Hey,
y'all,
this
fine.
Is my sister-in-law. Nene's married to my oldest brother. What you think about this topic, Nene?
It just brings the relationship closer. As long as you have a nice family support and friends and family, because it was kind of strange when my husband came to me and told me he had cancer, because in the midst of his storm, he was there there for his brother that had cancer too. Mm-hmm. So we was hit with two double whammies at one time. So when he came and told me the bad news, I'm like, well, I just started with my job with the state. I was like, well, if I have to take emergency leave, that's what I'm going to have to do. I said, because I took my marriage to vow when I went to the altar, took their heart, and it just brought us much closer.
Well,
but,
yeah,
I mean,
I know that.
But
yeah.
Like she said, she did what she had to do. And I think sometimes as women, we have that natural ability of, you know what, got to do what we got to do. But I think a lot of times, a lot of these men have it too. A lot of these men have it too. So I think she did what she had to do. I mean, the job's going to be there. You got to take care of your family.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's most important. Because I tell people
and that's
all the time.
And that's what I told my
all the time who be killing themselves at work. I be like, you going through all this at work when you got a family to take care of. Like, the truth of the matter is, they'll find somebody else to do that work. You just can't replace your family like that. So you always got to prioritize, and it should always be family first when it comes to that, the other option. So,
woo.
You got to do what you got to do. You picked the heavy topic tonight. You picked the heavy one tonight.
I know. And look, I done had to take me a few deep breaths because I think back on that situation. And like last year, yeah, I was hit twice. Two of my brothers was going through cancer at the same time. And I thank God for my sister-in-law because I'm way down here in Georgia. So I want to – thank you, Nene, enough for being there for my brother through this time because – boy,
yeah.
I'm tearing up right now just thinking about it. It's something that just takes over, and then you when it takes over just like that,
yeah.
you have to make some decisions, and you have to be real about them. Look, we in this together for the long haul, and whatever it is that I have to do, I'm gonna do it. So what do we have to do now to make sure that your life is going to be smooth? We're going to get through
right.
chemo. We're
exactly.
going to get through surgery. We're going to get through whatever it is that we have to get through. Whew. Thank you, Nene, for calling in.
I
appreciate you. I'm put you back in queue. But you still on this line, girl. I'm going to be a crybaby. I got to finish my show. I ain't got time to be messing with
no,
you.
No,
I love you.
All together. All
right. Love you, too.
All right.
None,
yeah,
none
I have to,
yeah.
Girl, but you know what? That story just touches me because, you know, my big brother was taking my other brother that's close to me, that's around my age, 2 years older than me, to the doctor. And then we found out he had, you know, I took the skin off my knees praying so hard for my brother, both my brothers. Okay, Lord, I'm going to go to another caller. I forgot who I just picked up. Look. caller with the last four of 6354. Did I already pick this caller? Let me see. Hold on.
Mm-mm. I haven't heard it.
Good evening, caller.
Hello?
We're talking about supporting your significant other through a traumatic time. You chiming in on this topic?
No, ma'am. I'm just listening tonight.
You're just listening tonight? Okay, I'm going to put you back in queue.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to take one more. And then we're going to have some dialogue, and then I'm going to take some more. We got about 23 more minutes on this show, so we're going to get as many callers in as we can. Caller with the last four of 2300.
Hey, I'm just listening tonight.
You just listening tonight? Okay.
Yes,
well,
ma'am.
Well, thank you for listening.
All right. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have a few more callers. We'll get to those in just a second. But, whew, Ayanna. So I'm okay,
right?
So look, we're going to get away from this, the cancer topic, even though this is breast cancer awareness month. And that, and cancer, all types, colon cancer, prostate cancer, breast cancer, all types of cancer, running rapid in the world today, just running crazy. Like, I don't know what happened over the last two or three years, but every time you turn around, this is what you're hearing about.
Man.
But I want to get a little bit
deeper. But go on. Go ahead.
This is that show tonight where we're just going to get deep off into certain topics because, like I said, supporting your spouse or significant other in a traumatic period of their lives, it could be a range of things. It could be a sickness, it could be an accident, or it could be a wife that someone decides to rape her.
Sexual assault. Wow.
Sexual assault on your wife. You know, men have these egos, and they have.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, we got to touch on everything. This show is for women by women. And
man,
we talk about
I'm
all
be
topics
honest.
On this show.
That one is that one is probably harder, I think. And this is going to sound crazy, so forgive me for those that are listening. But that one seems like that would be the hardest one because it's something that's completely out of your control, right? And that changes both people. Like, even though, because, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I watch the Law & Order SVUs all the time, and of course they end all the stories on Law & Order SVU, and everything seems absolutely perfect. I don't think it really happens like that. I really don't. So I think that one would be pretty tough. Like, that one you'd have to go through some real counseling. Like, for real need to talk to somebody. Like, both parties, though. I think clearly she's going to need it because of what has happened to her, right? But
right.
I think he would need it also because, like you say, it's an ego thing. And are you?
It's an ego thing,
right? Because you know you.
My
you
pride
through,
is broken.
I think with anything being diagnosed or something traumatic happen, grief or whatever, there's different phases in it. You know what I'm saying? Like you have to go through all of the phases. My mother's favorite saying is always, you can't go around it, you have to go through it. No matter what it is, you have to go through it. So to me, you have to identify that she's in a depressed phase and he's in an anger phase, you know, and then she's in the hurt phase. And you have to somehow get into each other's phases to really understand how that other person is feeling. Because as a woman that happens to,
right,
you can't get him to understand how you feeling. He's just angry, like, oh my God, you know, he's angry. But you try to get him to understand, and he can't understand. You know, people say things, well, why were you there, or what were you doing, and all
why
that.
Were you
all that
right? What happened? Why were you there? What
exactly,
is going on?
Exactly.
Their pride is
like,
broken.
Man,
on a few different levels because one, I wasn't there to protect my wife. I should have been there. So you got that guilty thing riding on your shoulders. Two, another man has violated my wife.
Right. And I don't know. I'm gonna be honest. I have no idea how that one should be handled. I would tell anybody that's listening that happen to, man, seek some help, because that's definitely past my little GED education.
Did you say, get out of here?
I did. It's beyond
this girl
my
said,
education.
My GED education.
I gotta admit, I don't know how that one would be handled. I really don't. I mean, all jokes aside, seriously, that's something to me that I really would, if I was giving advice to anybody that happened to, male or female, if I was giving advice to the guy that was trying to tell me that it happened to his wife, or if I was talking to the wife and she didn't know how to deal with it, I would literally say, get counseling. You have to talk to somebody. Because I don't think that is something that the two of you could work out alone without seeking true help, honestly, true help.
I don't either. Yeah. Well, let me see, because I did some research on, you know me and my research on this.
Right.
And
Googled it.
Yes. And actually, the psychologist is saying in order to heal after sexual trauma, you have to go through a lot of emotions, erratic emotions. You know, you everything is draining and difficult. It's, you know, and it can be once you get to that point where you turn from being a victim to a survivor, even in this case, it's like rewarding and empowering. Like, you know, I know what to do next time something like this happens. I need, you know, maybe I don't go down this way anymore. Maybe, you know, you start putting your life into perspective because you've been violated. So for a partner, like I said, the partners start, you know, they feel a little helpless. Like they're scared now to support you because now I failed and I don't want to fail you anymore. So they start backing
away.
They start backing away.
But think about it as a woman that's gone. Yeah, but as a woman that has gone through that, you got to think about it. Like your level of being intimate with your mate is no longer there. You know what I'm saying? Like
right.
You don't want to. I really don't want you touching me anyway. Right.
The
now.
Whole
I really don't want you touch.
Exactly. The whole dynamics of the relationship has changed at this point.
Yes.
And it's gonna take a long time for things, if things even get back to normal. And you're right, it's gonna take counseling. It's like starting over.
But I think with all of these traumatic things that can happen in a relationship, I don't think it ever gets back to what we would, back to the beginning or back to the basics, basically. I think it becomes a new normal. You know what I'm saying? Like you learn a new way to deal with this person or to handle this relationship. Because I don't think any of these things that you go through, you don't come out the same. You don't. So I think it becomes a new normal. So now what is it? How is our relationship now? Because we don't have that intimacy anymore. So we have to spend time with each other a different way. I'm not ready to be intimate yet. And I think as a mate, you have to accept that, understand that, you know, and then that's a struggle. And then you got to think to yourself, this is not the time for me to step out because that's only going to make this situation worse. You know what I'm saying? So
it's going to make it worse.
Yeah, it's going to make it worse. Crazy.
It's going to make it worse.
Crazy.
Let's take another caller. Phone line's jumping. Caller with the last four of 8441. Good evening, caller. You're listening to Against All Odds with Renita Graves and Ayanna Muhammad. Tonight we're talking about supporting your significant other through a traumatic experience in their life. You have anything to add on to this topic? Hello?
Caller, not paying attention. They listen.
Nope.
They
listening. Caller with the last four of 4446.
Hello.
Good evening, caller. You're on with Against All Odds with Renita Graves and Ayanna Muhammad. We're talking about supporting your significant other through traumatic times. You got anything you want
to
add?
Nothing.
You're just
to add
listening.
Just listening.
I told you, this is one of them topics tonight. Like, this is a deep one.
This is,
It's deep. This one deep. Not going to lie, this one's deep.
I don't even have a comment.
You're right. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. I'm going to put you back in queue, and we're going to continue to talk about this topic because it's very deep. But it happens.
It's like
real life stuff.
It does happen. And so one of the things, like, I've had people that have gone through certain things. I've had a cousin whose husband, her husband's younger brother was ill and he passed away, right? But in the process of him going through that, he had of course, cancer. He didn't catch it. He was diagnosed. And
well, you know what I meant.
Going through, I know, right? In the process of going through that, he was he had to be away from home a lot. And it's almost like they had a long distance relationship. And so their whole relationship dynamic had to change. And when I talked to her about it before we decided to do this show, I was talking to her about it. And she said one of the things in any situation, the other person has to become selfless.
Selfless?
Which I found to be selfless. Because she said it had to get to the point that she had to understand it wasn't about me. It was about him going through what he had to go through. And she couldn't make him talk about it. She couldn't do anything. And what I was reading when I did my research was one of the things you want to do is keep it as normal as possible. So if y'all normally do X, Y, and Z, that's what y'all need to keep doing if you can. You want to, anytime they're going through something, you want to try to keep it as normal as possible.
Keep it as normal as possible.
Right. The other thing that I found online, one of the things was you want to basically make sure that you're easing their stress. So if you know that normally you and your mate talking about this can become a stressful situation, you kind of don't want to bring that up because he got a lot more stuff going on. That's way more important, right?
Hey.
Another thing that I read, which I thought was really, really interesting, was outside of, you know, it actually had on there that y'all need to pray together, which I think we all agree on that. But
yep.
One of the things was you have to make a special effort to keep, like I said, the relationship normal, but you want to make it even more so of a relationship. So do things you wouldn't normally do. Like, you know, a lot of times people get into a point in their relationship where they really don't date anymore. Get back to dating. Get back to let's go out and have dinner and let's not worry about what's going on at the house or what's going on outside of the house. You know, let's get back to just you and I. And that was something that I found to be real interesting online that they were saying, like, you need to do. I thought that was
yeah.
Really, like,
but
yeah,
why would you
like,
think
I thought
so,
that was,
yeah, we can't, we, if I'm going through something and say, for instance, my diagnosis is terminal,
mm-hmm.
We need to have all the fun we can. We need to do everything
well, yeah,
we possibly
case, yeah.
Do. We need to continue, outside of my doctor's visits or whatever, I'm not going to give up. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of
yeah,
the day, God has
not,
the last word.
But this is more so when the terminal illness is not you and your mate. It's somebody within their family. So you still have to make sure that y'all are doing y'all, even though all of that is going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got all this stuff going on. Like, I have a friend, her mom's not doing well right now, right? And so
right.
Her husband, they basically switch roles. Like, she's at work all the time, or if she's not at work, she's with her mom, and her husband is doing everything for the kids. You know what
for
I'm saying?
Kids.
It's like, so it's been a role reversal in essence.
But that's
because she
support.
Has to spend so much time away from home. I agree.
That's
agree.
Support.
So to me, her husband's being very selfless in understanding that she has to be away from the house more than usual, even though she still has to go to work, but she leaves work. She goes over to her mom's house. She may stay the night at her mom's house. She may not. She's back home. She, you know what I'm saying? So you have to be
very
supportive. So I guess what we're saying is in all avenues, in all aspects. It's just, you know, it's what you got to do.
I understand it.
I'm okay with it.
Me too. I'm okay with it 100%. Because
yeah,
it's like when you take on that type of relationship, okay, we're going to be together.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be with you. Or we're married.
Right.
And once you make that mm-hmm. commitment, it's all or nothing. You have to be in my corner every day, every single solitary day, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm dealing with. If I'm having a bad day at work, if I've been diagnosed
mm-hmm.
with something, lupus,
right.
Cancer, MS, whatever it is,
it's all or nothing. Yeah.
You can't pick and choose, okay, I got a cold today, but tomorrow I have cancer, and I can't deal with the cancer, but I can give you some Robitussin for your cold. No, I need you to give me Robitussin for my cold, and I need you to drive me to get my chemo. It has to be
not Robitussin.
Well, what is it?
Not Robitussin. I don't know, but Robitussin,
what?
Really?
I mean, that was the first thing that came to my mind. I'm just saying.
I know, but that's the cure-all of all stuff. I got you. No, but I get it, though.
You know, everybody, and that's the cure. You take Robitussin for everything.
Yeah, that's the cure.
Your fingers hurt.
I broke my
ankle. Joint pain.
Let me get some Robitussin. You know?
It's Robitussin.
Robitussin cures everything. But no, I mean, but you're right. So this, you're absolutely right. It comes down to just being supportive. Sometimes, and people need to understand, being supportive is sometimes just sitting there.
Just
I'm not asking
there,
you got to talk to me. I'm not saying you got to do anything. I just want you. It's not even about listening. Just sitting there. I don't want to sit by myself. So just sitting
or
there.
Laying there.
We
got to
talk.
Me.
Yeah.
Let's
just,
watch TV.
Yeah, just,
let's share a
just
drink.
Be
just
there.
Be in there.
You, right. It's like if it's a guy, right, and it's a woman, and you're trying to be supportive of your man, if you know he love football, he love football, and he been through a lot. He just lost a parent or a sibling or whatever, and he loved football, you want to support him, just sit there. Don't ask no questions. Don't interrupt the man's game if you don't know the game.
NFL
just sit
channel.
There.
I'm
don't
popping
ask.
Popcorn.
It's the end of the game. Yeah, exactly. Make him some hot wings or some snacks or something.
Whatever it takes.
Right.
Let's pay some bills, Ayanna. I'm going to pay some bills.
Let's
pay some bills.
Let's do it.
All alarm companies call the police after a break-in. Most burglaries take place between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Home alarm systems don't prevent burglaries. Be proactive. Get a Digital Guard Wireless HD home camera system and monitoring. Systems start as low as $684.63, or you can lease a Digital Guard HD wireless home camera system with no credit check for only $50 a month with $275 down for 14 months. Call Digital Guard at 888-640-5777, hit option 2, and use the promo code Renita, because what you can't see will hurt you.
Okay, welcome back to Against All Odds with Renita Graves and Ayanna Muhammad. Tonight we're talking about supporting your significant other through a traumatic time. Let me tell you about this text that I just got. This caller didn't, well, not caller, but I just received a text message from somebody who's listening on the show. They said, great show. My cousin's wife left him because he went blind and had to do dialysis due to his diabetes. She told him that she couldn't do it, and he is no longer the man that she married. You see what I'm saying?
Whoa. Wait. Let me make sure. I want to make sure I was listening correctly. So
let me read it again.
Read it again. Hit me.
Great show. My cousin's wife left him because he went blind and had to do dialysis due to his diabetes. She told him that she couldn't do it and that he was no longer the man that she married. See, that's what I'm talking about. This stuff, I couldn't make this stuff up, y'all. I couldn't make it up if
I
wanted to.
I know you couldn't make it up, but let's say
this. Happened.
Let me say this. I'm all about supporting your mate, but I have to ask in that situation. It takes a while, if my limited GED knowledge, for you to go blind from diabetes, right? And I have to ask, was he doing preventive things to avoid that from happening?
It don't matter. It don't matter.
It doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying, are you being active in your in a situation like that, right? Like we said about the motorcycle. Okay, I know I'm a rider, and people, you know, you're married to a rider or whatever, but if they're doing reckless riding, like they're literally doing reckless riding, and you talk to them time and time and time again about, hey, I understand that you ride, but I just need you to be more cautious with it. Don't be blasting down the highway. Don't be, you know what I'm saying?
Then what you say? I'm waiting for the punchline.
Because if I'm talking to you and I'm telling you I have concerns about it and I need you to slow down and not do that or to do this, and you still keep doing it, am I still supposed to stay?
Hell yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you why you're still supposed to stay.
Okay.
Because at the moment that you found out that he was reckless riding,
mm-hmm.
and you talked to him about it, and he did it again
mm-hmm.
tomorrow. He did the same stuff. He'd been doing this for a whole week. And every day that week, you said, look, now, you keep on riding reckless. Something's going to happen because I keep trying to tell you to quit riding reckless, but your ass stayed. You didn't go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You never said,
mm-hmm.
if you keep riding reckless, I'm going to leave you because this is not what I want to do. I don't want to have to take care of you if you wreck. You stayed. You preached, but you stayed. So when something happens, you
right.
can't leave.
I'm still obligated to stay.
I'm still obligated to stay.
Absolutely,
you stay. If you didn't walk away, if the first time that you saw him riding 200 down 285, popping willies and wheezing in and out of cars, if you
mm-hmm.
stayed and didn't leave, because
mm-hmm.
apparently you talking wasn't doing nothing. You had to hit him with the bam, bam, bam. I'm out of here. Pack your stuff and leave because I don't want to see you get hurt. So I'm going to leave now. You can't leave
yeah.
next week when he get hurt.
I mean, I agree with you. You're right about that. But I probably will say some, I told you to stop doing that foolishness at least two times.
Yeah. And I'm
going
to tell that to you all while I'm bandaging up your head and your arm
yeah,
and
yeah,
all that stuff. You know what? I told you. Now look at you. You can't even hug me. I'm going to talk about you, but I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. I'm just, man.
But it happens. You see what I'm saying? Hey, people don't have the nuts.
Right. That's what I was going to say. The moral of today's show is, till death do you part, you got to read the fine print, because that's what it means, number one. And you just got to be supportive, married or not, in a relationship, not in a relationship. If you can support him through all his baby mamas, you should definitely be able to support him through something like this. That's all I'm saying. Like, I just, if you ain't walking away from the baby mamas, you really shouldn't walk away from this. When you in it, you in it.
You can't walk away.
Okay.
So, look, I want to thank, before I tell y'all next week's topic, I want to thank everybody
right.
that called in tonight. I want to thank everybody that listened in, just listening, even the ones that called and said, I'm just listening. I want to thank y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank everybody that's listening in online. I also want to give
mm-hmm.
a shout out to the other talk show host on the station, Nicole Lee. She is on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock with Healthy 365. Dwayne Abernathy is also on Monday nights with his show Moving Forward every Monday night at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Next,
all right, tune in.
Next Thursday, Ayanna.
Next Thursday.
We will be talking about ego tripping.
Whoa.
Husband.
Ego tripping, huh?
Wives. Who's got the bigger ego? If the wife is bringing
Ooh.
Home more bacon than the man, we're gonna get serious
yep.
next week. Ego tripping, everybody. Tune in next Thursday, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Against All Odds with Renita Graves and Ayanna Muhammad. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Good night, everybody.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and/or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are: what is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard remote monitoring will improve safety, reduce accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com.